Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
But my name is Kevin. I have the privilege of serving as one of the campus ministers here. Today, I see you guys are looking a little bit more happier. I'm assuming it's because you're not fasting this week. That'll be a good thing. But I did a fruit and vegetable fast last week. But Pastor Donnie and Pastor Adam always put the fast on the week of my birthday. It's okay, because, hey, I celebrated the right way. I had an irresistible carrot cake made by Jana Fisher, and I see the judgment on your face, but I have a hefty piece waiting for me after this sermon in a judgment-free zone, so it's cool. No, seriously, as we said, I really hope you enjoyed the fast and that it was fruitful for you and that it was beneficial for your life. If you were here last week, we began a series entitled Great Faith, and Pastor Adam showed us that if we're going to have great faith, then it takes two things, and those things are first, one, we must have endurance in order to have great faith, and the second thing is, when we have great faith, we must expect for our faith to be tested, and today, we're going to continue in that series, but we're going to look at great faith in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of our ordinary life. And my hope is that today you realize that the mundane is great, that being an average Joe is not so average, and that great faith can be and will be present in the mundane. See, it's one thing to believe and have faith theoretically, but it's another thing to actually put your faith into action. And to see what this looks like, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to look at an individual who you might be surprised to be in this particular chapter. And his name is Enoch. See, I think Enoch is in this chapter because his story is one of the most important stories for the Christian life. Enoch's mention in this chapter, it gives meaning to the mundane, to the everyday routine things that we do in life. So if you have your Bibles, open it up with me to Hebrews chapter 11. If you do not have a Bible, please stop by the connection area. We will have one for you there. I think one day we're going to take it off the screen so everybody can open up the Bible. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. God, I pray that today the hearts of the people will be touched by your word, that their ears will be open and their minds will be open, God, that you will be magnified here today as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if there's one thing you walk out of this gymnasium with, if there's one note that you take, this is what I want you to take. Great faith is measured by the attitude of our heart, not by the magnitude of our accomplishment. Great faith is measured by the attitude of our heart and not by the magnitude of our accomplishments. See, Hebrews 11 is focused on celebrating faith, not just the accomplishments. And Hebrews 11 is often called the by faith chapter. If you read it, it says by faith about 17 times. Some call it the faith in action chapter. It's almost like the hall of faith or the hall of fame that you have with sports. It lists out some of the most famous individuals from the Old Testament. You got Noah, you got Abraham, Moses, you got Rahab. See, the author of Hebrews lists their accomplishments and tell us how they put their great faith into action. But when it comes to Enoch, it's like two sentences about Enoch, right? The author doesn't give us anything specific about what he did, but yet Enoch is still included in this chapter. And that tells us that great faith was still at work in Enoch's life. So in our culture, oftentimes greatness is measured by what? By accomplishment. And I want to show you, I want to do an illustration. Can you put that picture up there for me, please? Have a look at this picture. The people on the bottom, you can probably identify really quick, right? Right there, the guy sitting down, I think his name is Tom Cheating Brady, right there at the bottom. Hey. Whoever clapping, we all going to heaven if you just clap, baby. Yes, we know the real Christians in the room. But, hey, I'm from New York. I'm not a Giants fan, but when I moved here, you guys, wow, the heck. Can we just all get along? Can we just all get along? All right. The other lady, the lady, sitting in the chair across from Tom Cheating Brady is Oprah Winfrey, right? We all know who she is. And if I asked, like, well, what makes these individuals great? What is it? You guys will probably start listing off a list of accomplishments. For Tom Brady, he won Super Bowl titles, which can be questionable. I'm not letting that go. For Oprah, I am not jealous, Pastor Donnie. For Oprah Winfrey, we could say something like breaking barriers for women and people of color, which is really important. And we could say stuff about how they got so much wealth and all of these things. But if I asked you what the two women up top did, most of you would probably be lost for words. See, in our culture, greatness is measured by accomplishments, but biblical greatness is not measured this way. And if we're not mindful, if we're not careful, we'll begin to measure our faith by our accomplishments. We'll begin to live our life determined based on accomplishments. See, Enoch is like the two women in that picture that none of you know. Enoch's inclusion in this chapter tells us that there's greatness in the mundane. In Hebrews chapter 11, most of the people are well known for what they did through great faith. We look at Noah, it says, by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham had a child in his old age. By faith, Moses parted the Red Sea. And these are some great accomplishments. But who the heck is Enoch? Enoch has like two verses. And in Genesis 5, it tells us what Enoch did. And the interesting thing about Genesis 5, it better shows us what Enoch did. And it shows us through a genealogy. Side note, when I first became a Christian, I always skipped the genealogies. Like, I would tell Pastor Donnie, I've read through the whole Bible, omitting the genealogies, right? I don't know why they did that. But it is really important that we see something here. There's a pattern in Genesis 5, 6 through 8. And I'm going to give you this example. It says this. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years. And had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Now, six out of the seven genealogies follow this same kind of pattern that you can see. When Dad X had lived, he fathered sons and daughters, and he died. But Enoch, I mean, he had a life before that, right? But pay attention to Enoch, right? Here's how Enoch was different. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And here's the unique thing about Enoch. This is what the word of the Lord says. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And again, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So here's what we know about Enoch. He walked with God. And he was taken, whatever that means. But the author wants to point our attention to the walking with God more than the taking. So how is walking with God an act of faith as great as or as impressive as building an ark or separating the Red Sea? What is said about Enoch shows us that we can have great faith in the mundane things of life depending on the attitude of our heart. And there are two attitudes that we can learn from Enoch that we must have. The first one is we must have an attitude with a desire to please God. What does it mean to please God? To walk with God means to please him. In verse 5, the author of Hebrews writes, Enoch was commended for pleasing God. And how does he know this? Because in the Septuagint, the term walked with God that we read in Genesis translate to please God. So we know Enoch pleased God. So we see Enoch lived a life with great faith by desiring to please God. But interestingly, note that nowhere in the Bible there's a list of accomplishments next to Enoch's name. There's no building an ark. He didn't mention how many people he led to Jesus. He didn't say whether Enoch was a Fortune 500 company. He didn't say he was top of the class or he was the best speaker. He didn't say he was super mom who lost all the weight 2 weeks after the baby. He didn't say he was super dad. If my wife was here, she'd nudge me. She'd say, that was bad, Kev. But the author of Hebrews measured Enoch's faith by the desire of his heart to please God. See, great faith is an attitude of the heart to please God. And when you do whatever it is you do, and when you do it with faith, when you do it with the end goal to please God, that is doing it with great faith. See, God is not measuring our faith by the magnitude of our accomplishment. God is not standing back waiting for you to do something that the world calls great to show up and say, oh yes, I am proud of you now. That's not the God that we serve. The best example I can show you is in Mark chapter 3, verse 17. You don't have to turn there, just listen. And this is where Jesus gets baptized, right? And I want to point out something. Before Jesus did anything, before he infamously turned water into wine, before he gave sight to the blind, before he healed anybody of sickness, God said, this is my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. See, while Jesus was just living an everyday, mundane, ordinary life, God said he was pleased in him. And I think some of you here need to hear that so you can stop comparing your life, stop comparing your family, stop comparing your marriage and your accomplishments to others. Hear me when I say, before you accomplish anything and any accomplishment, God loves you. God is pleased with you. Whether you're doing a small task or a big task, or you're just doing an everyday routine, or finding a cure for cancer, if we have a desire to please God, that is great faith in action. See, great faith is measured by the attitude of our heart, not the magnitude of our accomplishments. But we have even more insight to as in why Enoch or us would even want to please God. And this second heart attitude that Enoch shows us is to have a heart to have deep relationship with God. In verse 6, we see that a desire to draw near to God is the seedbed for the desire to please God. And this right here explains why it is Enoch is described as walking with God. This walking with God is a deep relational term, but it's the truth. And you know that you can have a desire to please God for all of the wrong reasons, right? In verse 60, it says, those who seek him are rewarded. If your motivations for pleasing God is to seek the reward, you won't please him because your heart is more invested in what God can give you more than God himself. Let me give you an example. You ever find yourself doing something you haven't done in a really long time? That means, like, you get in a jam, you start praying to this God to get you out of this jam. Oh, some of you didn't pray on the way here. Okay. So you pray for God to get you out of the jam, and then by his goodness and his grace, he gets you out of the jam only for you to return to the thing that you pray to get out of. We have some bad names for people like you in the church. In science, this kind of relationship is called parasitism, or you can consider yourself a parasite if you only seek God for the reward, right? But in the words of the controversial Kanye West, he made a whole track, a whole song about this kind of relationship. And it goes, I ain't saying she a gold digger. but she ain't messing with no broke. Y'all know I wasn't gonna sing that whole song on stage. No. All jokes aside. Let's bring it back in. We all have a desire to be in deep relationship with others. And so we do things to enhance this relationship, to make it deeper. And the best example I can give is one with my wife. Like, I date my wife because I desire to be in deep relationship with her. So I do things that Kev would not normally do, right? For example, one day she told me, "Kev, get dressed. We're going to the movies." I said, "Cool. I love you. Let's go." So we get to the movie, and in the opening scene, they start singing. She took me to Les Mis. I should have done my research. 10 minutes into the movie, they're still singing. An hour into the movie, what are they doing? Still singing. I look at my wife, she look at me, and she know that I know that she know that I know she got me, y'all. She got me in a musical. So I had to sit there and endure with all of my faith to the end of the movie, and I survived. No. That is endurance, guys. But you know what? In the midst of me looking at her, she cracked a smile, and it was all worth it. It was all worth it, even though I would never go back to see the movie. But when it comes to God, the more our heart desires to be in deep relationship with Him, the more He fulfills the desires of our heart. That's the God that we serve. See, great faith is measured by the attitude of our heart, and that is, one, a desire to please God, and two, a desire to have a deep relationship with God. Now, when we take a look at our daily life, if you was to examine your daily routine, here is where we start to see how great faith can be at work in the smallest, most routine, most seemingly mundane moments of life, is when we have a desire to please God and seek relationship with Him. And this is how we please God. We please God by reflecting His character in whatever we do. So you please God with the how you're doing something, not just what you're doing. While planting a new church is pleasing to God, or reaching an unreached people group is pleasing to God. But you know what else is pleasing to God? Lovingly wrestling your child down to change the 10th diaper of the day. Nobody's giving out awards for that. That's pleasing to God too. Or studying for that 2-credit-hour class like it's a because your professor treats it as a 20-credit-hour class, right? That's still pleasing to God. I had one of those last semester. I wrote the president of the university and to do something about that. But you know what else is pleasing to God? Speaking well of those who speak ill of you, or faithfully showing up to work, or remaining good friends to that one friend who believed they're a good friend but actually are not a good friend, or responding to someone in love, even when you're justified to respond in anger, doing the right thing even though you don't get credit for it, or in traffic, you wave hi to that individual instead of raising your holy finger to that individual, those things are pleasing to God. See, there's a misconception in the church that doing godly things only mean doing things associated with church or doing things that is huge or leading thousands of people to Jesus. Those things are godly. Those things are honorable. But doing godly things means doing whatever He has given you to do in a godly manner. So when you do the things that He's given you to do with love, with kindness, with a desire to glorify Him, you're doing it with great faith. In a culture that measures greatness by accomplishments, it can make you feel insignificant or inconsequential if you're not, quote unquote, accomplishing big things. If you're just being a stay-at-home mom, or if you're just working a 9-to-5, but you know what? Those things are great. Graduating from high school, let alone college, that's great. Being trustworthy, that is great. See, the culture don't get to define your greatness or your faith, because great faith is measured by the attitude of your heart and not the magnitude of your accomplishments. Can you throw that picture up that we started out with? See, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, I think if, you know, it says like by faith. And if that was rewritten to include like ordinary people like you and I think these two women would be included. Let's give these women names. Let's say the woman closest, furthest to my left is Twana, and the woman she has her arm wrapped around is Margaret. Now, if it was rewritten, I think that story would go something like this. By faith, when Twana found out she was pregnant at 15, she had to leave the drug-infested house that she was in. By faith, she became emancipated so she could take care of that child. By faith, Margaret took her in to raise the child. By faith, Twana took her child with her to school to finish her high school diploma. By faith, Twana went to vocational school and got her family out the projects. By faith, that boy stands before you and say, there's something great in the mundane. See, by faith in the ordinary life, you create men and women that can stand here before you to tell you that life is good in the mundane. There's nothing ordinary about a mundane life. By faith, you and I create greatness because we serve a God who is great. So my question to you today is, if Hebrews was rewritten to include you, what would your by faith statement be? What would it be by faith that the stay-at-home mom or dad raised up a mighty child in the faith? That by faith, the single mother raised that boy into a God-fearing man? Or by faith, you will show up to work and the atmosphere changed because God is with you? And by faith, you will love your spouse with your actions and your words, even though they deserve holy tongues. And by faith, you will stand for Jesus in your school when no one else will. What is your by faith moment today? What is your story? By faith, the mundane is great. As long as you are seeking God and desiring to please Him. See, the mundane is great because those that seek the Lord is great. Great faith is measured by the attitude of your heart, not the magnitude of your accomplishments. And I know after hearing a message like this, a question comes up. Well, what if I don't want to draw near to God? Here's the good news. See, Enoch was a good example of drawing near to God, but God loved us so much, He drew near to us. He came to us first. And it's time for you to stop hardening your heart and to seek Him. Some of you in here have worked and worked for a reward and an accomplishment, and even when you got it, you were still left unsatisfied, because this is it. A reward detached from the rewarder is meaningless. See, God is both the reward and the rewarder. And it's time for you to experience both, the best of both worlds. It is time for you to put your trust in God. Some of you in here, you just need to be reminded of the fact that God is pleased with you. Reminded of the fact that God loves you. Reminded of the fact that you don't ever have to do anything to fight for His approval. He approves you. He approves of you. He loves you, and He is pleased with you. Regardless if you are a CEO, or if you're not a high school graduate, or if you're at the bottom of the totem pole, if you're a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, it doesn't matter. With God, He is pleased with you. Your faith is not measured by that. In the mundane of everyday life, you live in grace.